appointment. And a person can be anyone, not those with whom, say, I live or work, but those who even for a moment touch my life. The people who call, and most telephone calls in my life were unsolicited. To see that every one of those calls somehow is a person that God has placed into my life. Now, having a fallen human nature, but let's be careful. When we normally say fallen human nature, most people think of having a fallen human nature because of the sin of our first parents. Is that correct? Yes. Is it complete? No. In other words, our fallen human nature is due to three kinds of sin. This is not, by the way, in these pages. Three kinds of sin. There is original sin, because of which we all have what we call concupiscence. We all now have a proneness to sin. That doesn't mean that every thought, desire, and action of ours is a sin. No. But there's a constant inclination towards sin, otherwise called concupiscence. However, there's another kind of sin that has affected all human beings, and that is the sin of society. We are born into a sinful world, and not just a sinful world in 1993, but a sinful world that had been sinning for millennia. Which has, to say the least, affected the laws of all nations, including a once civilized nation called the United States. I see this and I am being recorded. The United States is no longer a civilized nation. Do you hear me? And I watch my language. So the very laws of nations have become debauched. In other words, our nations that are now, well, demanding obedience to perverse laws. And just for the record, in the light of what we said before, the devil has his laws too. Am I clear? We say a just law is one that conforms to the laws of God. What's an unjust law? Oh, that's easy. And just unjust law is a law that conforms to the laws of Satan. This is Ignatius' language. And believe me, I'm no pious Joel. I'm not quoting cheap rhetoric. This is reality. But thirdly, there's another kind of sin that affects all of us. And that's our own personal sin. Every time we sin, we increase our propensity to evil. In other words, our past sins inevitably leave their mark, to put it mildly, on our souls. So having sinned, that's us. We having sinned become, in the deepest theological sense, more sinful than we had been before we had sinned, because we now have an increased propensity to sin, going beyond the built-in propensity called concupiscence, going beyond the sin of society into which we are born. All of this is locked up in what we're calling And it just calls the three classes of men. I think it's worth, this is page 40, number 28. The three preludes. This is an unusual kind of meditation, but having given the exercise over the years, I believe the single most important thing for a person making the spiritual exercises is to understand what they're doing. And consequently, I thought it was worth having one meditation on what Ignatius calls the three preludes. Namely, the history of the three classes. He gives the example of a large sum of money, 10,000 ducats in Spanish currency in his day. All three classes of persons have acquired the money honestly. They all want to save their souls, but they are not at peace. Why not? Because they are not internally free. There would never have been a Sigmund Freud, never a Carl Jung, never an Adler. There wouldn't be a science, my left eye of psychiatry. I read through most of the 24 volumes of Sigmund Freud, part of my graduate studies. There wouldn't be a psychiatry if people really have the faith. In my book, most what are called psychiatric problems are moral problems. So three classes of people, they are not interior free. They sense that somehow this wealth keeps them from serving God as well as they should. And that, my friends, is all of us. And we repeat, all of us. All of us, all of us. Including me, it sure does. Second, this being the situation, in the presence of God and His saints, I am the one with inordinate attachments. I place myself in spirit before God and His saints. My hope is to discover and choose what is more pleasing to God. Get that word, more pleasing to God. What I've got may be money, need not be money. It may be time. Maybe talents, maybe a skill, maybe my position in life, maybe my education, whatever it is. In other words, the purpose of the spiritual exercise is not to do what we must do. We don't need the exercise for that. As the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the exercises is to do more than we must do. And we'll do as much more for God as we are detached internally from what God has put into our lives, which is perfectly laudable and legitimate. You only have 24 hours of time. But what a difference, my Lord, what a difference between two people or among 1,000 people on how we use that time. I think I've told you, most of the reading of most Americans, 90% to be exact, is fiction. Not merely a waste of time. It is sacrilege. Or the education that I've got. Or the talents. And then thirdly, prayer for grace. Faced with a decision that I cannot make on my own, I beg for the grace to choose what is more for the glory of His divine majesty and the salvation of my soul. Unquote. What I'm asking is to make the wiser, better, and more generous choice, comparative degree, more, for glorifying God and reaching my eternal destiny. And all of us, every one of us, with emphasis, every one of us, needs to look into our souls and ask ourselves, how am I using the creatures in my life for the greater glory of God? And then, the three classes. What I've done is combine the first and second class together in one meditation. Who are they? Both these classes have one thing in common. They want to hold on to what their conscience tells them they must be willing to give up. Notice what, and it's not third person. This is first person. Singular or plural. I and we have persons, places, and things that we want to hold on to. Notice, it is not a sin to hold on to them. Am I clear? But by not being free that I want to hold on to, I am as a result not as generous with God as I could be, or as God's grace tells me I should be. And my only hope is I'm talking to the right audience. By the way, Ignatius warns us priests and Jesuits, be sure that those whom you are directing the exercises have the grace to go beyond the first week. Otherwise, you're more than wasting their time. And clearly, I've made a decision that you people are capable. I believe you have the grace to do more than you absolutely have to do to keep out of sin. So the first two classes are those who want to hold on to. How the first and second class differ. The first class does nothing. The second class does something. Like what? It does a lot of praying. Prayer is great. Are we to pray? By all means. I've told so many people, your problem is not that you don't pray enough. Your problem is you've been praying, you've got the grace, but you don't use it. You're piling up grace and looking at it. What a beautiful sight. Oh, how delightful. How good God is. Instead of asking myself, what do I do with this grace? And let me tell you, more than 40 years in the priesthood have taught me a lot. There are some very, very selfish people who spend hours a day in prayer. Hours a day in prayer. You may have a name for that. Piosity. Not piety. They reek of incense. They drip holy water. I didn't plan that figure of speech. Well, they're not doing God's will as He, having given them all that grace, wants them to use it. The spiritual life means rolling up your sleeves and working. Okay. Now the third class. The third class identifies the purpose of the exercises. In other words, as we go along, and that was it, on the 10th day, that we are all to beg God to give us the grace to belong to the third class. And this is readiness to surrender. Surrender what? Surrender my disorderly or inordinate either affection or fear. Remember the occasion. A church full of people, and the program was to be televised. 1 hour, lecture I was to give. In my rush, I forgot my notes. Cameras all set up. I knew in general what I was supposed to talk on. Was I ever afraid I'd make a fool of myself? Well, all I know is that nobody walked out. There are things we just dread to do because of fears. You've got the fears, I've got them. There's only one question that we should ever ask ourselves. Only one question. Does God want it? That's all. That's all. Once I know that God wants something, of course, I may have to prepare myself to do what God wants. But then I do it. What it is to do God's will, there's one will we don't have to make. I don't say our 30-day exercises. We don't have to spend 1 minute in prayer to know whose will we are always ready to do. Oh, no. There's only one will in the world that is in conflict with the divine, but only one. For us, each one of us, our own wills. That's why the devil could not have chosen a better word than choice for the abortionist. Couldn't have chosen a better word. Perfect. In other words, I do my will. As Lucifer said, leading the angels, remember, were driven out of, not heaven, but out of that place of probation. I won't serve. And he's been saying it ever since. And now, through millions of mouths, all this is locked up in the meditation of the three classes. Now page 42, they begin the public life of Christ. By the way, note the logic of St. Ignatius. There are some key meditations that he's provided for our reflection. To begin with, principle and foundation. And the meditation on the kingdom. The meditation on the two standards. And then, the last one, meditation, or meditations, one day, on the three classes. So that when we begin to reflect on the public life of Christ, we can identify with Christ. What was the public life of Christ? It was his proclaiming the kingdom, that His Heavenly Father sent Him into the world to establish and promote until the end of time. In other words, and this is no casual statement, in other words, we begin the public life of Christ in order to learn from Him. Not only, I repeat, how to become holy. Christ did not have to. He didn't have to become more holy. Even to become holy, He was the all-holy God in human form. What is the purpose of meditating on the public life of Christ? So we can identify with Christ. Not only we, of course, we can sure become more holy, but it's the finality, it's the purpose, the goal of holiness. What is that? To sanctify others, to be Christ to others. In other words, the supernatural pragmatism of the spiritual exercises follows the life of Christ right down the line. So then, as we meditate on the public life of Christ, a perfect theological synonym is the public ministry of Christ. Am I clear? And we now have a ministry. We've been chosen by Christ, and I repeat what I said before, hope I'm talking to the right people. Now, of course, our Catholic faith distinguishes between, say, the priestly ministry of those who are ordained to the priesthood, like this sinner, and the ministry that you people are to exercise. And I mean exercise, in extending the kingdom of Christ. And this afternoon, 1 o'clock, Detroit time, calling our two Marian catechists in Rome. Spent almost 45 minutes on the telephone. 7 o'clock, Rome time. Two lay women. And I'm sure they never dreamt, I don't say 10 years ago, but even maybe 3 years ago, what they would be doing. And I got a report from them, from the last assignment they got, what cardinals to see, what contacts to make. These are lay people, lay women. Talk about lay ministry. And there could be some disappointed people in the United States when they report what they told me that I have to share with others. People had expectations which will not be fulfilled. And let me tell you, and this is both the Holy Father and those who are working with and under him at the Vatican. But let me tell you, they must trust you. They must trust you absolutely. And that is why people, when are we going to start doing something? Huh? I don't want to use that phrase and count me out. Where the church can fully rely on you. Ignatius sent Xavier to India alone. He never came back. Stayed 10 years, wore himself out, died, as you know. Looking at, who remembers what Xavier at his death was looking at? China. But he never made it physically. And this is, you know what we're saying? In other words, once a person is totally, utterly, absolutely trustworthy, I repeat, in the eyes of Christ ultimately, but of those who represent Christ in this world, then you give them, you want to call it work to do. And you not only feel safe, you're confident they're going to work even miracles, as Abel did. I know of no saint in whose life there are more recorded miracles accepted by the church as worked by that saint during his lifetime, the life of Francis Xavier. Now, to say that he personally baptized over 100,000 people, so this is what this public life of Christ is all about. To meditate on Christ's public ministry, notice the word ministry, apostolate, mission. Now the two words, mission and apostolate, are theologically synonyms. Apostolein in Greek means to send. Mittere in Latin means to send. Identical. Apostolate from the Greek, mission from the Latin. To send. By Christ, but remember, not because of some, you might say, revelation that a person got. Our lady appeared to me. She told me to do so and so. Oh, she did. What did she tell you to do? Now, that same person, allegedly a revelation from Our Lady, and the bishop calls the person in. And, well, even the person doesn't even show up. Why bother? Why bother with a human being when Our Lady appeared to her or him? Believe me, I've done more than my share of sifting genuine mystics from pseudo-mystics, like Vasula, just to mention one well-known name. Okay, so it's the church. And this is a hard distinction to make, but I think it's worth making for this 11th day. In other words, the being sent by Christ. That's what apostle means. Clearly, does not mean being sent literally, physically by Christ as he sent his own disciples during his own visible stay on earth, but sent by those who have the place of Christ in the world today, namely, those who have authority in the church. And given the church's condition today, oh, how shrewd, how prudent we have to be. But we never question, as one who is vowed to obedience, we never question that those who have authority from Christ in telling us, directing us, and of course, we have a norm which conforms to whom? To the vicar of Christ. No limit. Now there are three meditations for the 11th day. John the Baptist, the temptation of Christ, the baptism of Christ, and the temptation of Christ. They do follow, by the way, in chronological sequence. John the Baptist is the most written about person in the Gospels after Christ himself. Verse after verse, about John the Baptist. Not coincidentally, my patron. Born on the 18th of June, and his feast is the 24th. Obviously. But, in the deepest sense of the word, we are all to be John the Baptist in our lives. Precursors, forerunners of Christ. That means that people have got to see in us some of the way they saw in John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, remember, he did not mince words, remember? But he lived a mortified life. A lot of people, mortification. You're kidding. And I could be talking on a better day. Now, the deepest mortification is not, well, cutting down from 2 to 1 teaspoon of sugar in my coffee. Mortification means mortem facere, to cause death. Death to what? Death to my self-will. I die to my own will in conforming to the will of God. And the external amount of mortification of penance that John the Baptist practiced was only symbolic of the deepest mortification. As we know, how this needs to be said, how many people have told this to? John the Baptist, the precursor of Christ, was a martyr for the sanctity of marriage. Remember? Told Herod, he was an adulterer. Herod didn't like it. He jailed him. Then, guess who got him beheaded? Who else? Except Herod's Coates' alleged wife. How the church needs John the Baptist today. And have to be talking to the right city, too. I'm not sure whether Detroit has the highest, but one of the highest rates of broken marriages in the country. Last night, a couple came for their premarital instructions. I had never met them before. The girl is Catholic. The boy has no faith. Never baptized. So we talked. And I asked the young man, what do you know about the Catholic Church? Well, something. And you thought that maybe, perhaps, there may be some wisdom in you learning something about the Catholic Church if you're going to marry a Catholic girl. Well, to his credit, he went off with a copy of the thick Catholic Catechism. Signed up to page 43. In other words, people enter marriage nowadays without only a second thought, without even a first thought as to how stable that marriage is going to be. Here's John the Baptist. The baptism of Christ. There are fathers of the church that say that Christ instituted the sacrament of baptism when he was baptized. And I see that's the more common position of the church. We don't know exactly when he was baptized. He didn't have to be. But what did Christ do? and on himself to be considered a sinner. The worst humiliation. And of the temptation of Christ. Three temptations to which we are all subject. Christ allowed himself to be tempted, but watch it. Not that he could possibly have sinned. That's blasphemy. But to be tried. The purpose of temptation from God's side. He does not want us to give in to the temptation. He does want us to endure the trial of being tempted. And the 12th day, the apostles, Cana, and the cleansing of the temple. The call of the apostles. Let me tell you, in the meditation, number 34, I want all of you to identify yourselves and ask our Lord to show you what it means to be an apostle. These are my directives from the Vicar of Christ. To inspire and motivate lay people to see themselves as apostles in the modern world. We need them. The church needs you. And then, the cleansing. Well, first next is Cana. The miracle at Cana. Under divine guidance, it doesn't really matter what you focus on in any one meditation. There's enough there, you know, for 10 lifetimes, one meditation. But one feature of the miracle at Cana is the role of Our Lady. Even remembering the visitation, she was a mediatrix of grace. The moment she greeted Elizabeth, John was sanctified in his mother's womb. So here at Cana, Mary is the mediatrix of grace. It's she who first even brought up, it was obviously a request to her son. They've run out of wine. She didn't in effect tell him. They've run out of wine. So would you please console the people? They're out of wine. Or do you think you should get some money to buy some wine? She knew exactly what she had in mind. She was asking her son to work a miracle. And she's been working miracles ever since. In the same way, most of the miraculous shrines over the centuries have been Marian. It could only be Our Lady of Lourdes. Couldn't be anything else. And remember what Our Lady told the servants. Do whatever he tells you. And let me tell you, even as those following Mary's directives do whatever he tells you, and what followed? A miracle. I mean it from the depths of my soul. You do whatever Christ tells you to do, and God will work miracles through you. I mean it. Especially the most, if I can use the term, difficult miracle, namely, moving human wills higher than the Himalayas that are worshipping themselves, converting sinners. Finally, the cleansing of the temple. What a delightful event. At the beginning of his public ministry. Remember, we all have a temper. The purpose of having a temper is to use it. Did you know that? And you fathers, I hope you know that. Bill, have you had to use your temper? I hope so. But never lose it. Always in control. There should be deep, searing, supernatural anger in all of us when we see what's going on in our world, in our country today. Am I making sense? And it's 8:30. So, now, anybody not received ashes yet? Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Shall we pray? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus, Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostrae, Amen. Regina, sine labe virginale concepta, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti,
Amen.
So we meet then, remember, on Monday at 7, and let's meet here in chapel on Monday. So Monday at 7 o'clock on the 1st of March here in chapel.